My presentation is pretty simple. It deals with the management challenges we have for the long-term plots. I have another session tomorrow where we present data from these experiments, mostly on carbon sequestration. And this is in room 412 tomorrow from 9:55 to 12. So today I'm just dealing on with the challenges. Okay, I'm going to talk about the challenges of the long-term plots in Pendleton, Oregon. They are situated in the west part and the east part of the state, and 8 miles from Pendleton. We have quite a number of long-term plots there. Unlike the Morrow plots, our plots are much bigger, and we are fortunate that somebody decided to, you know, start some of these experiments a long time ago. I think our plots are one of the oldest in the West, starting around 1931. So what we have is, I'm going to give you a brief a description of the experiments before I go to the challenges. We have an uncultivated grass pasture, which we use as a basis for comparisons with the other cultivated areas. So we have we compared it with a continuous crop cereal, continuous rotation here, wheat pea rotation. We have also summer fallow. Summer fallow is a predominant cropping system in the Pacific Northwest. We have another summer fallow here with fertility treatments and no-till. So I'll briefly explain these experiments. The grass pasture, it does not contain any experimental variables. And it's intended to approximate a near native grassland. And as I said, it serves as a baseline for evaluating other cropping systems. Periodically we seed it, periodically we fertilize it or irrigate it. The dominant grass species include the wheatgrass and some Idaho or fescue. Okay, and then we have these long-term plots, the continuous cereal plots. We have continuous winter wheat, so every year we're growing winter wheat here. This is a 16-inch rainfall area, so we could do this. So we have got these different periods where, you know, the management changed, some of the variables changed from 1932 to 50. We have rates from 0 to 126 pounds, and then they changed. This time they went to 0, 70, 80. And then from 1993 to the present, we are having unfertilized part of the plots and then fertilized plots. So we have the same situation for the spring wheat and for the spring barley. We also have continuous cereal, but this is under no-till production. The ones I showed in the previous slide are under conventional tillage. So we have also no-till experiment here, but this one was started in 1998. And we have got spring wheat, spring barley, and winter wheat. Again, on continuous cropping, we've got a wheat pea rotation. This was the practice in the 1930s and to some extent right currently. And in this experiment, we have got no-till comparing no-till with conventional tillage, different forms of conventional tillage. And conventional tillage. And then we have summer fallow. Summer fallow is the predominant cropping system in the Pacific Northwest. And this is one of the most comprehensive experiments. Started in 1931, and we have got residue management systems here where we add manure and pea vines, as was the practice then. And then we have got different tillages here, some fall disc, spring disc, and then also farmers used to burn, so we have no burn treatments and burn treatments. And some of the burning goes on in spring, some of the burning goes in the fall. So these experiments are still intact. And we've got these different periods where the treatments change slightly, but from 1979 to the present, these are the sort of treatments we have. I'll show you one graph showing the data of this from this plot, just to illustrate the importance of these long-term plots. We also have another summer fallow, which is a tillage and fertility experiment. So we have the moldboard, the disc, and subsurface sweep in combination with fertilizer, nitrogen fertilization. And we've got these different periods again where the treatments change slightly, but from 89 to the present, we have 0 up to 160 nitrogen per acre. So we have got a very good setup here where we can compare uncultivated land with continuous cropping, monocropping of wheat and barley. We also can compare it to the summer fallow. We also can compare it to the wheat pea nitrogen. And in both situations, we can also use treatments. Sorry. Now, I'll quickly go to the challenges, which is what I was asked to do. Our number one challenge is funding, of course. I think we don't have any funding for these plots, so it is a miracle that these plots are still there. Fortunately, we have at the station, we have both OSU, Oregon State University faculty, and USDA ARS scientist. So we take turns in maintaining the plots. So we are simply kind of maintaining the plots using our limited station funds. We don't have any, much funding from the state, and we depending, more on little grants here and there. Donna said, most funding institutions, they shy away from these long-term plots, preferring to fund four-year experiments. But I'll show you in the last slide how important these experiments are. I think these funding institutions should start considering long-term research as a priority. Another problem we're dealing with is the relevance of these experiments. They were originally designed to answer specific questions at that time in the 1930s and 1940s, and they've been maintained with relatively few changes. So the questions we always ask ourselves is, are these experiments still relevant for our current situations or not? So that is a really difficult question we're dealing with. We have technology has changed, and for example, the wheat pea, the crop residue experiment, they used to harvest the peas to a stationary thresher, separate the pods, and then take back the residues to the field. Right now, we've got different machines. We can just do it on the go and leave the residue in the field. We're advocating no tillage. So a lot of things have changed, and we're constantly, struggling to justify the relevance of these experiments. Still on relevance, we struggle to change, what about the varieties? We are having new varieties all the time. So when do we make this change without affecting the long-term objective of the experiment? Like I mentioned, the tillage practices. No-till right now is what we're advocating for. And what do we do to minimize the changes in the experiment? Again, we've got major and minor design changes. Some of the experiments are unreplicated. We also struggle in whether to make these designs conform to the agreed statistical standards. changes in the goals and the objectives. We are having different goals right now. Of some of the goals are still relevant, but in some of the experiments, I think we need to look at the goals and the objectives. When to terminate the experiment? How long is, Don talked about the time factor. How long is long? And where do we think, when do we terminate this experiment? It's another big challenge. And again, I'll show you the slide I'm going to show you at the end. It'll tell you, you know, how difficult these decisions are to make. Or when to start a new LTE. This one is easier, I guess, because if you've got the money, you could start new objectives and another new LTE. And we have done that as well. We started another new long-term experiment in 2003. Okay, again, the same question, should an LTE change? When is it time to change it? Management. There's an inherent conflict between consistent management across years compared to the optimal management each year. An example is that when they started some of these experiments, they fixed the fertilizer rates like at 80 kgs per hectare of nitrogen. But then we are telling the farmers to sample their soil before they can, so that we can determine how much nitrogen to put. So we are struggling on what to do, whether to change to the optimal management system where we sample the soil first to determine the nitrogen to put, or just to continue with the treatment as they were started in 1931. this animation. Now, routine management of the LTEs is determined by the authors, but the major decisions are made by a broad-based committee, which has tended to result in relatively consistent management. To protect these long-term plots, they formed a committee which makes decisions on when to change the treatments. So it is so difficult to get through the committee. I'm part of the committee, but it's difficult to convince them to make a change for the sake of that. I think for a good reason, they want to preserve their long-term experiments and still look at the sustainability of these cropping systems. So we have that challenge as well. And also another challenge is integrating routine farming operations on the long-term plots into the overall station management. The farm manager is always in conflict with what to do. The researchers want their experiments, their new trial experiments executed. And also we have these long-term plots to take care of. So in the end, the long-term plots, they take their back seat. They're always done at last and planted late sometimes. So that affects also the yields of the performance of the long-term plots. Data collection. Because of funding problems, we are just collecting the minimum data set, and that is yield, harvest indexed, and you know, just the minimum data set because we don't have any funding for this. For the detailed data collection, we leave that to the individual scientist. So if you can get your own grant and want to look at a particular experiment, then those are the guys who have been bringing in detailed data collection. We have, because of the lack of funding, we decided we might need, in the future, we might want to look back at this data. So we have an archive. So we sample soil, we take soil samples and plant samples and archive them so that at a later date, one could come back and look at the data. But our problem again is the storage part of it. We don't think our storage is adequate, and the environmental conditions, we don't have a controlled environment for storing our samples. And again, that relates back to the funding part of it. Analysis. I think this point was mentioned by our previous speaker. Some LT designs do not conform to the modern statistical standards. We have experiments which are unreplicated. We have some which are replicated, but the treatments were not randomized. Like what Don was saying, we need some kind of a staggered start, and we don't have this in some of the experiments. So we cannot collect data every year on some of the experiments. We have also confounding effects of changing the cultivars. We have been changing cultivars as time went on. We have also confounding effects from fertilizer types and rates, tillage practices, the implements. So we've got all those challenges when it comes to data collection. Also, we're collecting lots and lots of data, and we need the storage and access. So we're dealing with storage, access, and publication issues on this. We have created a database, but it's difficult to maintain the database because we don't have a technician assigned to these long-term plots. So the farm manager, in his spare time, deals with the database, and it's not always up to date. Again, I talked about the storage of the archive samples. It's really a challenge without controlled environment and funding. Now, determining the access to data and the resulting authorship, we have got people, scientists, who would want to get a handle on this data. This data set from Pendleton is very popular with modelers, and they want their hands on the data. But nobody's contributing to the data collection or data development. So on the basis, and they still want the data because the experiments are run on state funding, public funding. So they have the right to get the data, but it's kind of painful just to collect data and just give it away to other people to publish. And in most situations, we haven't got even an acknowledgement of providing the data, and even getting the credit. The people who have published masters and PhD theses, and they never acknowledged us using our data. So this is quite a big challenge for these long-term plots. Yeah. I was just rushing through some of these challenges, which seem so obvious, but. Nonetheless, we're having a lot of information from this data set, from these experiments, and we're in a position to answer questions on carbon sequestration. I'll be talking about this tomorrow, and soil erosion, nitrogen dynamics, sulfur dynamics, pests and diseases. Now, just go on to what this slide I was talking about the importance of the long-term plots. Again, if you're looking at the challenge of when to stop an experiment or when to start a new one or when to change the objectives, this chart really illustrates that the difficulty in making that decision. This is showing soil carbon from 1930 to 2005. We are sampling every 10 years. And I'll draw your attention. This is the crop residue experiment where we have nitrogen treatments and we're adding pea vines, manure, and where we're burning some of the plots. I want to draw your attention to this pea vine curve here. For 20 years, from 1930 to 1950, there was no change in the soil organic carbon. And I mean, this is a lifetime of a scientist. They would have simply concluded that this was the case. And if you add so much of pea vines, then this system is gonna be sustainable. We can maintain your organic matter. But look what happens after that. Started decreasing. So somebody could have easily stopped this experiment within these 20 years. But somebody had some foresight to keep this running. And so that's now we realize that this, if you add these pea vines, it's not that as sustainable as it looked 20 years earlier on. So again, this shows you how difficult it is to determine when to end an experiment and when to change the objectives. But on this slide, the where we are adding manure, we are maintaining the organic matter slightly decreasing, but all the rest of the treatments, we are losing our organic carbon. And this is because this is a summer fallow. This is a summer fallow kind of an experiment. And we are adding, we're growing a crop, one crop in 2 years. So the amount of organic matter we're putting back is quite limited. But again, I just wanted to show you this slide to show that it is really difficult to decide when to end in a long-term experiment and or whether to continue it. So with that, I would end by saying the development of sustainable cropping systems relies heavily on understanding numerous and complex interactions among plant, soil, and pests. Effects of cropping systems on these interactions often become evident slowly, and only well-designed experiments can capture these processes. So, current funding practices should be changed to accommodate long-term plots. So with that, I'll end my talk.
Thank you, Stephen. We have time for questions, if you have any particular questions.
I was just watching that manure starting to taper down on the organic carbon, too, and it made me wonder, have you monitored the manure content that you're adding back, whether that's changed over the years?
Yeah, we are just archiving that, and we'll analyze when we get the funds. That's a good point to look.
Curious,
yeah.
Do you think there's any difference? You don't know at this point.
We don't know at this point. We analyze for the nitrogen mostly, but we haven't checked the carbon. But we have got the samples to look back to. Yeah.
Other questions?
Say that again?
Just keep the fire from moving from plot to plot.
Oh, we have our little fire truck close by. So when we're burning, we've got somebody ready to hose it down. First, we water around the perimeter of the plot and then ignite it. And we've managed to do that easily, yeah.
Okay. So what are you going to do if they outlaw burning in your part of the state like they did in the western part?
Actually, we don't recommend burning at all. This is one of those treatments. Which is, yeah, see, you can see why this is the lowest treatment here. We don't recommend burning at all. We're just maintaining the long-term plots as they were since 1931. Yeah, but it's a good experiment to keep doing in the sense that we can show the farmers that don't do this. This is what happens.
Well, they still burn them, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Other questions?